You're going to be a dog fam.
We are. We're going to be a dog fam. We've been getting pictures. We've been getting pictures and videos of all the pups from the mother of the dogs that we're getting a dog at the end of May. And it's been exciting to watch these beautiful creatures grow. And to one day, it will be in our home. And his name will be McFly. Lavasa McFly.
Lavasa McFly?
Yes. Yes, that's correct.
Are you prepared for the freaky dog people who are going to be like, why didn't you rescue? You should have rescued.
I've already had those conversations with those people. And when they start to get into that mode with me, mm-hmm. I just say, every dog needs to be adopted. Don't be a dick.
Yeah.
And like those dogs were going to be born whether we were going to adopt them or not.
Yeah.
We chose to adopt this dog. If that's wrong, I don't want to be right.
So be it. Our cat was breeded. I will say no to every single one of those dogs. Yep. And no, absolutely not. I'll sneeze all over them. I wouldn't abandon a dog. I just wouldn't begin.
Here's the thing.
With the dog.
If you're man enough to abandon a dog, you're man enough to put it down.
I wouldn't abandon it.
See? Because you're not man enough to put it down.
I'm not man or woman enough to even just to start getting a dog.
Okay.
Sounds I don't want one at all.
I know you don't. Are you going to have a problem when you bring Moxie over to the house and the dog's there?
Yeah. No, it'll be great because when she's like, Daddy, I want a dog. I'm gonna be like, Cody has a dog. All right. We'll go see McFly.
You're allergic to dogs, right?
Yeah.
So you probably can't ever come over to our house again.
Yeah, this is the end. This is the end of it.
This is the end.
This is it.
Well, everybody, you've heard it from Dan. We've got about 6 more episodes. Then I have a dog, and we're done being friends.
And this is it. No, man, you just got a vacuum.
Okay. And
you got a vacuum.
And I don't know. Madeline, can you do some research while we're on the podcast tonight and determine if this is the hypoallergenic dog?
Doesn't matter.
It is?
Oh, it is.
Wow. So many people are like, oh, don't worry. My dog's hyperallergenic. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. I will still sneeze.
Doesn't a sneeze, isn't it the best feeling in the world, though?
Isn't it like a tenth of an orgasm or something?
That's why I sneeze 10 times.
Oh, that was amazing.
That was a full orgasm sneeze. Anyway.
Well, guys, you better listen to this whole podcast because at some point we've snuck in Cody and I snorting a condom and coughing it up through our mouth.
So get ready for episode 118 of the Dan and Cody podcast. Oh, this one was filled. Play it.
This is the Dan and Cody podcast.
This is it. Right here, Cody. You put on those headphones and you go to work.
Why are you yelling?
This is where our message is heard. It's time to get hype. Say it with me.
What are we saying?
Dan and Cody.
Dan and Cody.
Dan and Cody.
Meet Dan and Cody podcast.
Dan and Cody podcast.
Dan and Cody podcast.
Get some.
Dan and Cody podcast.
This episode of the Dan and Cody podcast is brought to you by Studio Headphones. Guys, if you want to combine tech and style, check out Studio. Head to their link in our show notes and enter the code DNK for 15% off your order plus free shipping. Or just go to studiosweden.com. Oh, that is beautiful. That's beautiful.
It's disgusting. I bet my mother was listening right there, and she's like, Cody, you filled condom through your nose.
That's disgusting.
You are so immature, young man.
That is the worst thing you can do next to chewing a Tide Pod.
Ugh. I'm not anyway. Sure why your mom's nasally congested.
Because she's been under the weather for a while, so.
Oh, get better, Sandy.
Thanks, Mom. Please, get better.
Is it Sandy?
It's Sandy.
Hey, Sandy.
Sandy, Sandra.
Everyone in Idaho... How you doing? I'm coming camping real soon. I'm buying a tent. We're getting some beans. We're getting a pan. We're getting a fire, and it's going to happen.
Already have a pan. I think we can work with my tent. I don't think you'll need much other than that.
Then we're settled. See
Dan
you tomorrow.
And Cody on the road to Idaho.
To Idaho. Guys.
Actually, that should be fun.
You think this is just the podcast? Man, we're like the Marvel Cinematic Universe here. This is phase one. All right, there's a bunch of stuff in the pan. We do other things, videos. We do trips,
pornos.
Yeah, we do Instagrams. Like pornos. The shit is all connected, man.
Right.
There's so many pots cooking.
Have you guys ever seen Geraldo? Imagine Geraldo with a sweater vest, and he walks in, and he has a set of sunglasses, and they flip up, and below them are regular glasses. Now imagine that. Pretty cool, right?
That's our podcast.
That is our podcast,
Geraldo
with a sweater vest and flip up sunny shades.
I couldn't put it any better.
Thank
you. We're Geraldo and his mustache.
So you, my friend, have been traveling across the country over the last several days. Tell me about this event of travel.
I've been traveling this great nation of ours for work.
Okay.
Can't really say that much else about it other than I was in New York and did some things there. And then we drove, me and my buddy Caleb, we drove all the way back. And whew, I got to tell you.
I got to listen.
Like I said.
Yeah.
I said this to the podcast with Tim 2 weeks ago, that it should be a birthright for every
man, woman, child, dog, cat owner
to travel the country.
Yes.
Road trip. Coast to coast. Birthright. You got to do it.
And it's like if you're Jewish and you go to Israel.
Yeah, it's free.
The United States should actually do an annual trip that you sign up for when you're 20.
Yeah. You get, it's just like a bunch of cars, like, you know, nothing special, like Honda Civics, and you and a friend, you hop in it.
You run a Civic train.
Yeah, and you get to go cross the country.
Yeah.
Hotels are free.
Right.
And, you have, like, a per diem or whatever for food and gas.
Yeah.
But every kid should do that. Every young adult.
A Civic train.
I don't want a bunch of 14-year-olds on the road.
No, you have to be young. You got to be 20.
Yeah, 20.
So 20 years old. You're not old enough to drink.
Yeah.
You're just old enough to experience things.
Yeah, go across the country.
Totally do it.
Because, like, I mean, you've done it. How many times have you done it?
I don't know.
I think I've done it four times.
Once?
You've done it once?
I mean, I've done it once from Florida to Idaho.
That's basically it.
But I've driven from Chicago to Illinois, or Chicago to Los Angeles, you know, seven times, maybe.
That's a lot. That's a lot. I think I did it four times. I moved Brandon out.
Right.
I moved myself out.
Right.
And I did one with my family when I was a kid.
Nice.
And this time.
Okay.
So four.
I did, yeah. When I was a kid, when I was very young, we did a trip from Idaho to Ohio.
From what?
Idaho to Ohio.
That's
Cincinnati, as a matter of fact.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's far.
It was far.
It's a far freaking distance. But like a lot of driving across the country, you really, there's an argument for legalizing drugs just across the board.
No, there's not.
I think so.
Okay.
There's a lot of towns where there's just fucking nothing to do.
But drugs.
we're driving through like ghost towns with just nothing. So, I mean, to say that Jim, who works at the gas station.
Yes.
It's like slowing down his day. There's nothing for him to do. For me to say like, oh, you can't do a line of cocaine to brighten up your day. Like, who are we to say that to Jim? Let Jim ball out, you know?
No, man. This is insane. Introduce these people to the arts. Don't introduce them to drug. Introduce them to drugs.
I'm saying...
Yeah, go ahead. Snort some coke. Here's some crack. You like heroin? No big deal. It is a big problem in the United States. Have some.
It's your life. Your town is terrible.
No, man.
Live it up. Have a mushroom.
The town is terrible to you. To you, my friend. To
no,
you.
This is not an eye of the beholder situation.
Absolutely. Like, it's an eye of the beholder situation.
There are places in New Mexico where people live and no one should. Okay? Like, it's fucked. It is fucked. And to deny those people mushrooms or some sort of psychedelic to, like, brighten up their day is criminal in my book. They should be allowed drugs.
If you guys are listening to this, explain to Dan why your community... In this small rural area of America is worth living in. Because you know what? I come from a small rural community, and it was totally worth living in. Not forever.
I mean, that's why Frostburg. There's nothing to fucking do there. So we all drink. We all just got drunk all the time.
Yeah, but every college student
does. And it made it fun.
We
loved it.
Right.
I go back to Frostburg now, and I'm like, I love this place. You know why? Because I was drunk the whole time. You know, let them at least have that. Well, I guess they do have that because alcohol is legal. But, you know, I don't know what I'm saying.
Well, as long as you can commit to that, I think we're in a good place.
But I broke it down.
You broke what down?
There are a few special cities in the United States that I think are far above the other places. I made a list of like the best places in the United States.
According to Dan Hill.
According to Dan Hill.
And now, like the best places in the United States, according to Dan Hill.
Okay. Now, not to say that every place isn't special. I'm just saying these places, like, have a feel. There's something extra there, you know? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There's a vibe.
Absolutely.
It's like no other place. So here are my cities. Los Angeles, of course. The city of angels. All right, where dreams are made and broken.
Where Nick Cage was an angel and decided to become a human for love.
That's right.
And the next day, his gal is going down some mountainside with her arms open and a truck decapitates her.
100%.
Sounds like a place totally worth living in.
Yeah. I mean, Los Angeles, California, you can swim. You can surf, snowboard, dune buggy all in the same day. There's a special vibe here that's undeniable. New York. I mean, when we were there, it felt like we were on a movie set. We were in Times Square. Like, I've been to Times Square before, but like, there's nothing like it, man. There's a buzz. You get a slice. It's not the best piece of pizza you ever had, but it's not the worst. You fold that fucker up. You bite into it. It's New York, man. Like, I just love that buzz. There's like huge like skyscrapers with freaking ads on them. Like, just it's buzzing.
If those of you haven't heard of it, Google it. You'd be surprised. It's there.
It is there. It's beautiful. We saw where they do the ball drop. I'm sure they cleaned up all the poop from New Year's Eve that is left over from human beings watching the ball drop. Miami, special place. Very special place. It's beautiful. The scenery, the people, the Cuban culture that's sort of like gotten into that city.
It's Will Smith's favorite.
Yeah. San Fran. San Fran's a fantastic city as well. It's very different. It's just a vibe. Then I got Vegas. We all know Vegas.
You put Vegas on there?
Of course. Of course. Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding you with what?
That place is magical. It's a city in the middle of the desert that shouldn't be there that is like thriving.
Like Southern California?
That place pulsates fucking awesomeness, you know?
Okay.
Like when people fly to the United States, Vegas is on their list. That's a place you need to see.
Okay.
You know? And then I have ones that are... Like, those are my tops.
So you're telling me your top four cities in the United States, five cities, are New York, Los Angeles, Miami, San Francisco, and Vegas?
Las Vegas. Yes, 100%. Of course.
Ugh.
Now I have my lower tier. My lower tier.
What? Yeah, let's hear your lower tier.
Yeah, you can shit on my picks later.
Okay.
All right, I got my lower tier, Dallas. Okay? I got D.C.
Okay.
Just because of all the history, architecture, it's, you know.
It's, you go there.
It's where shit gets made. Shit gets done. I don't like this city, but the buzz and the vibe there is undeniable, and that's New Orleans.
Interesting. Okay.
And Colorado.
Colorado is a city?
Well.
You mean Denver?
Pick one. Denver, yeah.
Okay.
Or Aspen. Yo, they got snowboarding. Those mountains.
Dude.
Those mountains.
Dude.
People love Colorado.
Dude.
It's Snow City.
Dude. I'm struggling here right now.
All right. Where did you miss, man?
I'm sorry, but I got to take Vegas out of the top five. I could throw it in a lower tier.
You're taking Vegas out.
Vegas has got to go.
Why? That there's an undeniable vibe in Vegas.
You know, all cities kind of have their own personality, have their own voice. And you're right. New York City, definitely. There's no, honestly, if you had a choice to come to the United States and there's one city to visit, you go New York.
You need to go to New York.
You go to Los Angeles because, honestly, you're getting two very different worlds in those on those two sides of the country.
Yeah. Now, I think that, you agree New York and L.A. are
New
one
York
and two.
And L.A. are they're one and two because they are so very different. Yet at the same time, it really kind of gives you a taste of what the world's like, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're melting pots. There's a lot happening in both of them. Now, after that, you know, it becomes a little dicey.
I had Miami, San Fran, and Vegas.
Now, mind you, I haven't been to Miami, so I don't know. I've never been to Miami.
My dad's got a place there.
I've been to West Palm. That's as far south as I've gone.
You gotta go. Let's go to South Beach, us four.
Maybe one of these days.
We'll leave Mox with the
right
with Grah.
Right. Check it
Hi,
out.
Hi, baby. I love you.
I don't think Denver's in there. I would put because I love it. I love Seattle. I think Seattle's an amazing city.
I thought about Seattle.
Yeah.
But I don't know enough about it.
Right. And Chicago has to be in there.
I had Chicago.
No, you didn't say it.
Oh, I have it written.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Chicago is a guaranteed staple. And just because of recently, and my appreciation, I do appreciate DC for what it is, but it's mm-hmm. not in there. I went to Houston.
Yeah.
Thought it was amazing.
Houston's nice.
Houston's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, this place is huge.
Yeah.
It's different. And to be honest with you, it's one of those places where you go, and if you know the rest of the country, and you go to Texas, and you go to Houston or Dallas or whatever it is, you are not in America. It is so weird that you can go into the whole state, and it's like, this is a place that defines itself by not being American, but by being Texas.
Yeah.
And that's the way they run things. And Houston's interesting because it's completely unzoned.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that you don't have commercial districts, you don't have industrial districts, you don't have residential districts. So you could have a power plant in a home of residence. Now, to be fair, that's not necessarily what happens because they've really worked on a very interesting setup because, you know, you start building homes, a lot of people want to build homes in the same area. So it naturally kind of zones itself.
Right.
But there are weird places where it's like, okay, so there's a processing plant and a house right next to that processing plant where when you're in Los Angeles, like you have these zone districts,
yeah,
you know, and it's very interesting to see that in Houston. But, you know, I guess I could say those are probably my top five. There are so many cities totally worth visiting and checking out. I love Milwaukee. It's dirty. It's small, but it's got a real cool grit feel to it.
Yeah.
Never been to Detroit. You've been there.
Detroit's cool.
It's different.
I've really only been there when it's fucking blistering cold, which is part of it.
Right.
It's part of the atmosphere there. Like everyone's bundled up, right. And you know, we got Joe and Phil out in Michigan.
Right.
What's up, boys?
Michigan's an interesting place. I've never been to Cleveland. Always wanted to visit it. Big fan of Kansas City. Just because not just because my wife's there, but when I went and visited, it's got this great appreciation for the arts.
Yeah.
And it has this great feel of unity in a city who's like, it's a great sports town, and the people there are just, they're the sweetest.
I like St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's the cries of Moxie.
She's screaming bloody murder.
She gets upset. That's okay.
Susan, what'd you do to her?
I'm going to let her... Anyway, so all these great, you know... It's hard for me to knock what you had because it's like, that's your opinion. That's what you're walking in with. I totally get it.
Yeah,
I want to go to Boston. Oh, I'd love to see Augusta, Maine.
I left Boston off. Yeah, you know, Boston has an undeniable vibe. That's right. What I was trying to go for is like a place that that is just so distinct from any other city.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you will not mistake New York for LA. You will not mistake Miami for Vegas.
Right.
You know, you know when you're there. as weird as like obvious as that sounds.
Yes.
You know?
Boston's that way for sure. Okay.
Yeah, Boston's definitely that. You gotta ride that T. My brother went to Berklee College of Music.
Oh, and that's in Boston?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
With John Mayer.
Hey there, baby. Yeah, baby.
Your favorite. Jenny's favorite.
Love some jam. Anyway.
So if you're out and you want to pick a place to go, go to one of these places.
Yeah, check it out. If you've never been, you know, one of the toughest things about like living in a rural area is it is hard to leave. It's mm-hmm. hard to get out and see these other places. But I think you'll be surprised. Uh-oh, Jenny. I hear something in my headphones. The lights just blinked. Oh, I think we're getting a ghost.
There's an orb.
Oh, no. We're not getting a ghost.
We got orbed, guys. Guys, the power just went out in my house. The TV went off, turned back on. All the lights turned back off, back on. And my daughter's no longer screaming.
Nope, she is. She's there. She's right. She's
we're back to normal.
We're okay. She's good. She's still screaming. Okay. Anyway, so check it out. Guys, go visit the world. Expand your horizons. And we love you.
And if you come to L.A., don't call me and Cody. Experience it yourself.
Yeah, because honestly, I'll probably take you somewhere you hate.
And then text us.
Yeah. Like, there's a really cool movie theater by our place.
I'll take you to Yogurtland.
Ugh. It's not very good.
It's delicious.
Yogurtland?
Love Yogurtland. I used to be a hater. I was a Pinkberry guy through and through. Then Jenny was like, Yogurtland's the same thing, Dan. And then I tried it and I was like, man, this is the bomb. And you can put way more in your own cup. You get to fill it up yourself, which I liked. I liked that independence.
Cool.
And now there's this new place he's trying to put me onto called Menchie's. And I'm like, it just tastes weird.
It's the same thing, bro.
Nah, man. Yogurtland.
Menchie's?
Jenny, you know I'm brand loyal.
You know I'm brand loyal.
Jenny, I'm a brand loyal guy. Don't bring me those Apple Zaps. I need Apple Jacks. Don't bring those Apple Yaps in my house.
Dan needs brands. He's a brand guy. He's brand loyal. That's how he rolls.
That's how I do.
Man, we had Tim on last week. It was really great. Tim was nice enough to come and help me work on Friday. We brought Tim on.
Tim, you're a good man.
You're a good dude, Tim. Thank you so much. And, you know, I wish I had some deep inner thoughts, but I got to be honest with you, man. I'm not prepared for today's podcast.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you a story about New York.
Okay. I'll listen.
When I was in there, we went through, we had a truck, and we drove through this toll. And
a toll, if you will.
Yeah. We drove through a toll road. We stop at the toll. I'm in a truck. And Caleb's driving at this point, and we talk to the toll person, and he's like,
$45. $45 at the toll?
Yes. And that got my attention, so I was like, excuse me? And then he was like, you got like six wheels or whatever, you know, like something like that. And he was like, $45. And I was like, is this guy trying to like rob me, like steal from me? So I talked to Caleb, and I'm like, Caleb, get a receipt. And he hears me say that. And like, when I say get a receipt, I know that's like, I want proof that you put it in the computer and you're not just like stealing.
Right,
I
mean? Right.
That's what I meant by it. And I guess that's how he took it too. So he gives me back the receipt. And well, he gives Caleb the receipt and he goes, next time you'll remember the price. And then we drove away. And I wanted to be like, fuck you, dude. Ugh.
Got next me. Time you'll remember the price.
Yeah, he's like, here, next time you'll remember the price with the receipt.
Was it 45 just, bucks?
It was 45 bucks. I didn't know. That's a lot for a toll, right?
Yeah, that's an insane amount of money for a toll.
$45. That was a hell of a lot.
Wow, $45.
Yeah, man. And he just this generic New York, next time you'll remember the price. It's like, dude, go to hell, man.
Those New Yorkers, man, they're tough.
Next time you remember the price, hey, fuck you.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
Or, I like it a pizza. Give me a pizza over here. I needed a pizza.
Michael Rapaport. You sucker. You fucking sucker, you.
Well, that's too bad, God. Man.
Yeah, so that was an interesting authentic interaction, I will say, of New York.
We went in on Saturday. We went to the California Science Center, which is on the campus of USC.
CSC?
USC.
California Science Center?
California Science Center. They go in, and it's really great. They've got a lot of great things for kids, like really interactive stuff. Mm-hmm. And they have some space stuff in there. And we went because that is where they store, or that is where they're displaying the space shuttle Endeavor that NASA used for like 20 years.
Right.
And it actually was built to replace the Challenger that exploded in 1981 when it was taken off or whatever it was.
Allegedly.
What?
According to the flat earthers.
Right, right, right. Allegedly. Allegedly it exploded and people right. died and everybody can't find those. Anyway.
So they say.
Right, right, right. So we went and saw this, and it is one of the most amazing things to see in real life.
Yeah.
Because it is smaller than a 747. They'd actually put it on the back of a 747, and they'd fly it from location to location.
Wow.
And then whenever they'd ship it off into space, they would, you know, strap it to these giant rockets that are 45, 50 stories tall.
Yeah.
And it's really amazing because underneath you, they have these like little foam tiles mm-hmm. that absorb the heat. And then they have the outside of it, which is a fabric, mm-hmm. a heat-resistant fabric. And then underneath that, which you can't see, is aluminum. So the whole body is like this aluminum body.
Aluminium.
Yeah. And I ended up speaking with a guy who happened to work for NASA for many, many years as kind of like a data analyst, computer programmer.
Yeah.
And he would write codes and stuff for all the other stuff. But he understood the what do you call it? The space shuttle really, really well. Uh-huh. And they had this great diagram of all of the rockets that had been shot up into space and the number of missions that each of these rockets had. So you had like the Apollo rockets and the Ares rockets or whatever it is. Ares, I think, is the Mars one that's going to be taking off. Mm. But they're huge. And he was talking about the Mars trip. I guess my point that I'm trying to make is we got onto Mars.
Are we going?
From a subject on Mars. And he said, well, the first manned mission is likely like 2035. Which, really? If you think about it, dude, we'll be 50.
Yeah.
Like, that's something we will see.
We'll see a man on Mars?
We'll likely see a man on Mars.
Or woman.
Probably a man, though, right?
I mean,
realistically.
Most likely.
I mean, come on. Madeline, you going to Mars?
As long as you're not.
And my wife.
As long as you're not.
My wife will go to Mars just to spite me.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we went and we had this whole conversation, and one of the big issues was man being in space that long. And actually, when they go into space, they're in like low Earth orbit. So they're not out to the moon. But when you get out past the moon, you get in these situations where the Earth has a kind of an atmosphere that protects you from all the radiation that the sun spits out. Mm-hmm. So one of the concerns over that long journey from Earth to Mars is how do we protect astronauts from intense radiation?
Yeah.
And that's kind of one of the problems that they have to solve if they're going to plan to send man to Mars over 6 to 8 months.
And this will be a NASA mission, not SpaceX.
Well, that's NASA. That's NASA's approach. I don't know what SpaceX is planning on doing.
He's
know.
Going next week.
Yeah, he's got a couple tickets. He's probably going to send some friends off.
That dude.
And to be fair, the way Tesla's working, there's been a lot of news right now about Tesla.
That dude is, he should just change his name to Tony Stark.
He could change his name to Tony Stark, but there's a possibility that Tesla goes under.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. They're burning through cash like a crazy man. There's all these great articles out
there
right now.
They're digging tunnels in
LA. That's cool. I can do that until I run out of money and I can't dig tunnels anymore. And that's kind of the concern that investors are having right now with Tesla is they've not progressed enough in their car department. That's a big moneymaker for them. And their hope is to produce like 2,500 of their Tesla 3 models, which is their $35,000 electric car.
I'd buy that.
Of course you would, because it's a manageable price point that most people could afford versus their Tesla vehicles now, which are anywhere from like 60 to 120,000, right?
Yeah, like I see the dope Teslas riding around and I'm like, ooh, I want that, but probably never.
Probably never, right? Yeah, no, it's just too expensive. Yeah. And
unless this Patreon kicks in. Come on, guys.
Come on, guys. Get Dan a Tesla. Just so you guys know, if you sign up for Patreon right now, when Dan gets his Tesla, you'll be one of the first people to get a picture of him standing next to it.
Yep, I'll be Instagramming from it, on it, around it. It'll be great.
Yeah, anyway.
So they might go under, huh?
Well, the problem is they're burning through cash. I mean, I would assume that somebody's going to give him billions of dollars.
Yeah.
He's already, you know, managed to get a lot of people to give him money, and he's got that bravado power and that face to say, hey, this is me. Why would you not invest in me? I'm a sure thing.
I mean, like...
But to be fair, Tesla hasn't made any money. They don't make money.
Yeah.
They are a cash hole. They spend money.
Yeah.
So...
But, I mean, if they have the
potential to make a lot of money, though.
If he did any campaign, he's so polarizing that, like... If he did some sort of like campaign, people would donate a dollar, you know? And he'd get enough dollars that he'd be able to do whatever he wants.
Maybe.
He's that popular, I feel.
Well, he definitely is popular. He tends to pull the strings of what progressive young Americans want, I think.
Yeah.
And that tends to help him probably push his agenda.
Yeah.
And, you know, people want to support that because his mentality, for the most part, is probably good for Earth. And
yeah, he's trying to save us, man.
Well, yeah.
He's trying to save the world.
He's definitely trying to do things differently, and I respect that I respect him for that. So that was my weekend, Dan.
Nice. Hey, when you drink from a water fountain and like you hear a nearby toilet flush and the water pressure of the water fountain sort of like flickers, you know? It goes a little less. Has that ever happened to you?
No.
Are you serious? Like in school? Never?
Nah, man. I don't ever remember that ever happening to me.
I used to, like, at my school, I would drink from a water fountain.
Okay.
And it'd be, like, really pouring, you know? The arch.
Okay. It's like high and it's really shooting out high pressure. Okay.
And there'd be, like, water fountains stationed outside of bathrooms, like at schools, you know?
Okay.
And when you would hear a toilet flush, the pressure of the spout of the water would like flicker.
Hmm.
And that would always disgust me.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I just wanted to.
It would disgust
that.
You because you felt that the waste would go into the water source?
Yeah.
Or it's not really how pipes work though.
But just like, you know, you knew that like the toilet water is somehow connected to the drinking water. Otherwise, why would the pressure change?
Because the toilets need to refill. The waste doesn't go into the pipes where the water is. It goes into an exit system. You have an entry system, which is where all water comes from,
mm-hmm.
and you have an exit system where all water goes. So you shouldn't have to worry about that.
Right.
And the pressure drops.
But if it's coming, it can go too.
What?
That's what I'm saying.
No, man. There's room.
There's room for error.
No, there really isn't. There really...
If it's coming, it can go too. That's why it flickers.
Nah, man. You want to know why it wouldn't work this way?
Why?
It doesn't flicker because of that. That's insane. It flickers because you have a lot of toilets at one time being flushed. So the water supply, the flow of water coming in, that pressure is now being going from instead of one hole, mm-hmm. it's now being shot out of, say, four holes. So that same pressure is reduced at your hole.
And it affects my drinking experience.
What?
And it affects my drinking experience.
Yes, but it doesn't mean that you have pee and poo in your water.
Right, but it shows me the possibility.
No. No, it doesn't.
Next you time you guys drink water, water
fountain. No. You want to know why this doesn't work? Because there is enough pressure behind the water that there is always water pushing through. There's so much pressure that it can't suck anything up. That's not how it works, man.
But why does it flicker?
I just explained this to you.
But why? That's what I'm saying.
This isn't an existential, like philosophical conversation, Dan. There is real science behind this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't understand.
Yeah, I know, but I just explained it.
It makes me sick. It affects my drinking fountain experience.
Really?
And I feel, yeah, because like I don't want to, you know, if it does it a lot, like you hear like, oh, whoosh, someone just like went to the bathroom, they flushed the toilet, and then my water coming out of my water fountain that I'm drinking goes like bloop, bloop, and like drops like tremendously. It's like, ugh. Was this water gonna go refill a toilet if I wasn't drinking?
Yes, probably.
Right. And to me, that's kind of gross.
Why is that gross that all the water that is in those systems is drinkable water and one of them happens to fill up a toilet? Why is that gross?
I don't know. It just
you should feel that way after you drink out of anything.
It just is to me.
So then you think drinking out of a sink is disgusting?
Yeah, I don't do it. I put that shit through a filter.
But you drink out of a water fountain, which is the same thing.
They got fluoride in there.
Dude.
Right?
No, man. No, man. Maybe they have fluoride in there. I'm not going to argue that point because I have no idea. But I will tell you that the reason that you lose pressure in your water fountain is because if you imagine a pipe, and at the end of that pipe, it has a link where it shoots out, it supplies water to four other pipes.
Okay.
Right?
Got you.
All of those pipes are closed off, right? Mm-hmm. All of that pressure pushing that water forward is there, right? Like that pressure behind the water is pushing it forward.
Is one of those four pipes to my water?
Yes. So one of those four pipes, you drink it, it's super intense, right?
Yeah.
That same amount of pressure is pushing out of there, right?
Yeah.
Well, now you got somebody that flushes a toilet. That pressure is going to reduce on this end.
And I'm saying, yuck.
Okay. Well, you shouldn't say yuck, but sure.
Yucky.
No.
Yeah, man.
No, man. No, man. No. So people, don't be afraid of the pressure in your toilets. Don't be afraid of the pressure in your water fountains. Don't do Dan on this one.
Disagree.
Hello there, Dank Odies. This is Joe Merle for Those Movie Guys Podcast. And we are normally here with your weekly movie recommendations, but this week I got something bigger, something huge, the crossover event to end all crossover events. So if you want to know what Dan's all about, the one Mr. Dan Hill, when it comes to his movie knowledge, he threw his resume out there and he said, Joe and Phil, I've got all this knowledge of movies and I want to be on your show and I want to come in there and I want to show people what I know. Well, it's finally happened, folks. With episode 113 of Those Movie Guys, we got the one and only Mr. Dan Hill to join us for an episode. And you want to say, oh, where can I find it? How can I get this great movie knowledge? Well, I tell you what, you can go to thosemovieguyspodcast.com. You can go right there. It'll be right on the homepage. All the back episodes are there. Or you can go on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, whatever you want to call it. You can go on Stitcher, Google Play, any podcatcher on the planet, man. You can find this episode. And so that's our recommendation this week is you jump on your favorite podcaster. You listen, podcatcher, caster, whatever the case may be, we're all podcasters, but you jump onto your favorite podcatcher and you download episode 113 of Those Movie Guys Podcast because we did it. We did it. We finally got Dan on there and you can see what Dan's all about. Let's see if he can hold up. Let's see if he can, if he has the movie knowledge he claims to have. So download it today and let us know what you think. And for Those Movie Guys Podcast, we'll be back next week with some cool movie recommendations. But this week, it's all about that crossover, baby. Let's make it happen. Those Movie Guys out.
I have a controversial story.
Controversy? Please.
I need you to weigh in on it.
All right. I like controversy. Throw it at me.
This one was sent in by none other than Jenny Hill.
Jenny Hill, wife of Dan Hill, for those of you that don't know, and CEO, brain trust, and genius of JC Roomblocks.
That's right. If you need hotels, you call up JC Roomblocks.
You don't pay anything.
You don't pay anything.
Anyway.
So here's the article.
What's the article?
17-year-old was told to put Band-Aids on her nipples after not wearing a bra to school. All right?
Okay.
This girl, Lizzie Martinez, she showed up to school wearing a large, long-sleeve Calvin Klein shirt without a bra underneath. And a few hours later, she was in the school nurse's office being told to place Band-Aids over her nipples.
Okay.
Martinez said She had to put two Band-Aids over each breast, and she left the office distraught and in tears, she said. Now, the next day, after tweeting about the incident, she informed her followers that her high school had blocked her on Twitter. As of Sunday night, the teen said she was still barred from following her school's account. After receiving a call from the school about a sensitive matter and then another call from her outraged daughter, Martinez's mother said she was livid to discover that school officials removed her daughter from class because a teacher or a boy was uncomfortable or laughing at her. Here's a quote from her. She says, They had me put on a second shirt and then stand up and, like, move and jump around to see how much my breasts move, Martinez told BuzzFeed. And she said she was mortified.
Yeah, that's weird.
That is very weird.
You know,
A boy was laughing at her in class.
After?
No, like, this is what, like, caused the distraction or whatever.
So they weren't going to do anything until a boy laughed at her nips.
I guess so. She was told that the nipples and breasts were distracting other students and a boy was laughing at her. Thus, she was violating school dress code policy, according to the teen and statements from the school officials.
Okay.
Martinez said that the school officials originally told her that her third period teacher flagged the dress code issue, but later said a student came to the office to report her.
Wow.
Yeah. So here's a picture. It's just a Calvin Klein, like, long sleeve shirt. Now, for those of you listening, I mean, the girl has large breasts, but in this picture, like, you can't see any, like, nipple or anything like that.
The fact that they posted this teen's chest? No,
she did that.
Oh, she did this. Okay.
Yeah, she tweeted the incident. That's what got the acclaim. But I was telling Jenny, I think there's a few things that are wrong here. One, you know, and the point that I want to make is that there's not right or wrong. There's a lot of gray area. There's wrong in making this girl put on Band-Aids, for one. Like, to remove her from class and be like, you must put these Band-Aids on because your nipples are showing. That's wrong. Do you agree?
I don't know.
Right.
I don't know, and I say that because you are in an environment with young men.
Yes.
Or young boys, whatever you want to call it, and these guys are all hyped up on hormones, super horny. It's not like she's going to get attacked, but I do think that there is something that you want to reduce that as much as you can. Now,
yeah.
Having her put something over to limit the distractions of her nipples.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I understand. I don't know about Band-Aids. I mean, is that a really great, effective method?
I guess if they were to get...
If they were like nipple Band-Aids, like they meant for dress-up, like if they had them in an office and they said, here's these specific types of like nipple pasties. Covers, pasties that we have girls wear so that their nipples aren't showing, I'd probably say okay. But the idea of her like jumping up and down seems really odd to me. Yeah, I would also
for
say
for someone to judge whether right, or not that's distracting.
I would also almost say, like, you know, maybe she should have brought another jacket or another shirt. Like, if she's wearing a thin tee, even if the shirt's dark,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you're gonna see some nips, man.
I mean,
especially if it gets cold in school, like. You know,
the problem is with the dress code. I'm sure that they're like, this shirt doesn't violate the dress code. Of course not. It's a long sleeve shirt.
Right.
That's the problem, is that there's no context of like, okay, well, the dress code is probably what you can wear. It's not what you can wear in addition to what affects the things that you are not wearing as well. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
So like, sure. You can wear a bra.
Absolutely.
You can't only wear a bra. You know what I mean?
Right.
I wore a shirt to high school once that said, it was in Dunkin' Donuts colors, and it said, Funking Go Nuts. And I had to take that shirt off and turn it inside out.
Right.
There was no, because it didn't say the F word. It said, Funkin Go Nuts.
It's distracting.
It's a distraction.
And it is a, you know, you're setting yourself up for Something.
Yeah. Kids would laugh in class, and it was a distraction. So I had to change my attire. Now, it was a shirt. It didn't have a curse word on it. It didn't violate any dress codes.
Right.
But it was a distraction, so I had to do it. In this situation, she... I mean, yes, to your point, there's like those. There's boys and girls with raging hormones in high school who will 100% be distracted by a large chested girl with no bra on in school.
I was always distracted, right? By large chested girls that didn't wear bras.
Yeah. So I mean, here's the solution. One, you take her out of class,
right?
And you say you privately, you know, say I think we need to talk to the principal or whatever because there's a distraction,
right.
And then you remove her. If she's unwilling to put on a jacket or change, then you go home,
right?
You don't need the charade in the what do you call it?
Yeah, you don't need the nipple test as they've decided to determine it.
Yeah, so that's a problem.
Those
in
nipples
itself
look like they're properly protected now. You may go back to class. Before you leave, make sure you jump one more time for me.
Yeah, like who's doing this judge? Who's
right,
judging
exactly
the jumping? Who's doing all this? So like I think there's problems on both sides. This girl probably knew that
this girl knew her nips were like blazing out there in the world.
Yeah.
There's no way she didn't.
And I'm sure that if she did have like the like glass cutting like hard nipples, that this would be like, you know, very eye catching.
Right.
So I don't know. There is no right or wrong, but
well,
there is a way to handle it.
There's a way to handle it. I don't necessarily know if it's wrong. I just think that there is a, when you're in a school setting, you have to think about the other students. You know, if this girl wants to go outside on a weekend and not wear a bra and wear a long sleeve shirt or whatever the hell she wants to wear, sure, mm-hmm. whatever, right? Like, if her parents are going to let her do that, whatever. I'm not going to stop her. But in a school setting where it's about keeping kids focused, children focused mm-hmm. on what it is, you know, on the topic at hand, not somebody's breasts and nipples.
Yeah.
Which, you know, even if her nipples aren't hard and she's got large breasts, these boys are already distracted.
Yeah.
Right?
Just the fact that there's, you know, more movement. There's bound to be.
Right.
In a baggy shirt like that, too.
Absolutely.
But now she's gaining traction from all of the, you know, free the nipple, all this sort of stuff. But what they don't understand is, again, what you said, if you're outside of school, fine, but you're in school. This is not a place where like you can't free speech in a school. Like there's rules and regulations that you abide by that are not that's not the same as being out in the free world, you know?
Right. There are rules put in place that help protect children and also help instill like the necessary focus for these students to succeed in class. Now, I'm not saying it's perfect, and I know Tim would probably say, has some other feeling about this, right?
Yeah.
He'd be like, man, let that girl run around. I don't know why he sounds like he's country and eats chicken, but anyway.
I mean, and I get it. Look, if you said every girl could go to school with no bra over the course of time, just like in a strip club or something, you become desensitized to it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that what this girl did was terribly wrong. I'm just, it was a distraction.
Right.
And that's the society that we live in. Should it be a distraction? I don't know. Jenny's shaking her head at
here, if we were able to cut out the sexualization of how a boy sees these things.
Yeah.
I would
be
say
no problem.
It'd be no issue. And maybe over a time, there's a way that we can desensitize boys so they don't see breasts as some kind of sexual object. But to be honest with you, I don't see that happening anytime soon.
And the argument, someone also made an argument like, oh, well, would a boy be sent home if he had an erection? And he wasn't wearing underwear or wearing like gym shorts? And I would say yes. Yeah, absolutely yes. If you were in gym, young David has a freaking hard on in like mesh champion shorts, you'd be like, David, I think you need to go to the bathroom. You know? That would happen. That would 100% happen. So like that argument doesn't work.
Yeah, but that's like all boys at that age. Yeah. You walk around with a raging boner.
Right.
But you're right. Like if I'm in math class and I stand up and
you
I
go
say,
right on the board and you have a huge boner.
Boner, they'd say, Cody, please go sit back down.
Exactly.
Take care of your boner.
Yeah.
Like
that would happen.
Mr. Hickman would basically be like, Cody, you need to cover your boner.
Yeah.
No more boner.
Get that boner under control, Frederick.
Jesus, Cody, what are you doing? What the hell is this? This ain't gym class. Put that boner away.
But yeah, if you got raging hard nipples in class, no bra, you're going to get sent out.
I think so.
And that's the world we live in. For now. Maybe. Let there be a rise up, an uprising.
Right. Thank you.
And then we'll be desensitized.
So what do we got, Dan? We got a true crime?
You tell me.
I think it's time for this week's true crime. This crime is going to blow your pants off. Jenny, her nipples are going to get hard because she's going to hear this. We're going to have her leave the room. She's wearing like four bras right
Jenny,
now.
Jenny, this is a distraction.
But Jenny's nipples are going to pounce right out of her four bra coverage that she's got. So here's a real, real crazy story that I read. It was in the New York Post, which tends to be a little salacious, but there was several other sources.
This one's nuts. But
this one's nuts. So Mississippi investigators found the body of a man who penned a Facebook post detailing how he killed his mother and his best friend. So they found his body.
Mm-hmm.
And this individual is like 24 years old. And apparently he got on Facebook and he told the story about how he went into his bedroom and grabbed a gun. And his mother was passed out drunk from booze, and his best friend was sitting in the living room, just like kind of zoned out, mm-hmm. sleeping almost. And he said he talked about how he went out and he shot his friend in the head.
Yep.
And then he went into his mother's bedroom to shoot her. His gun. It was too dark, and his gun had jammed, and he left the room.
But he shot at her twice, hit her, but he didn't know where.
This was before this, so his gun jammed.
Oh, right.
He leaves, he comes back, he shoots at her twice, and then he turned the light on to shoot her, and then he finished her off.
Right.
And before that, he describes her basically saying to him, why did you kill me?
Yeah.
Why did you kill me? And then he gives in detail the description of what it was like to watch his friend, he said, who seemed to die instantly. He's describing him laying there dead.
Yeah.
And he's describing his mother dying, and he's explaining how it's his fault. He hates himself.
Yeah.
And he's going to kill himself because he doesn't want to have to put the city through the trouble of putting him on trial.
And wasting taxpayer dollars,
and how it's better for everybody to move on after this. So
and
why don't you just kill yourself then?
Yeah, and didn't
oh he did
he did
well without killing anybody else.
Yeah,
just kill yourself if you ate your life.
Well, I mean, if he's gonna kill, so like Jenny just stated, she just said, why don't you just kill yourself? And you know, maybe it was, but he also had the desire. He wanted to know what it was like to kill somebody.
Mm-hmm. He wanted to feel.
Yeah, he wanted to feel what it was like. And he did that, and he said after that it happened, he's like, I don't feel any different.
Yeah.
So it was pretty interesting.
He said the whole thing was like 3 minutes and he was shaking.
Yeah. Because he was so hyped up about doing it. He said he paced in his room before he did anything, trying to like get himself up to that point. And he walked into the room and just shot his friend in the head. And he said, it's like he died instantly. So
disgusting.
So this was a really crazy story about this guy. And they ended up finding his body.
Yeah, he drove away, his car breaks down, and then he just makes a post, a Facebook post.
Makes a Facebook post in his car, and then walks out into the woods and just kills himself.
Mm. How old was he? 24,
23. And he basically explained in this story, too, he has a younger brother. And he said that this is going to be the hardest for him, and if people want to help, they can help him, because he's the one that's going to need it. And don't just call him and tell him you want to help him. Do something about it. So odd.
It's weird.
Obviously, he cares about his brother.
Yeah, so why did he kill
his mom? In a strange way. Well, obviously, there's something there. He also talks about how he took heroin from his buddy who had some heroin on him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he pulled heroin and money out of his dead friend's pocket afterwards.
He said he was disgusted by the sounds that his body was making as he was lying there dead.
Mm-hmm. Ugh.
I can't. That's enough.
Ugh.
My wife's not liking this. Nobody likes this, but this is this week's.
But apparently, I do.
Jenny loves this stuff.
So Jenny really loves this stuff. Jenny, you should read the article. You should read what he wrote, because I think it would...
Yeah, it's a long read.
It's a long read.
Yeah. Like,
he wrote this huge post. Dan will send it to you. It's crazy. So that's this week's True Crime.
Do you have any info on this earthquake I missed? Did you feel that?
No, but my mom texts me 2 days later. She says, Cody. And then she calls me, Cody, I want to know if you're all right. Is everything okay? Like in a panic, like in an intense panic. Cody, I haven't heard from you. Is everything okay? And then I responded to my mom's call because I couldn't answer the phone. And I wrote, Mom, that was 2 days ago.
Did the earthquake get you? Well, I'm glad it's not just my mom.
Well, I talked to my mom today. I was on the phone with her today, and I said, Mom, you know, that was 2 days ago. This is the first time I talked to her, you know, voice to voice.
Yeah.
And she said, I know, but I just heard about it. Your aunt had told me what had happened, and I just wanted to make sure you're okay. And I was like, well, it was 2 days, you know. No big deal. Everybody's fine. Madeline felt it. I was driving. I didn't feel it. And then I started to proceed to tell her about the big one that's expected to hit.
Right. Was this one the one on the 5th?
Yeah, I think so. The 5.7 or something, 5.3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was one in Oklahoma, Texas, and Nebraska.
Oklahoma always has them. Oklahoma City gets a lot of quakes because of the fracking.
Right.
And I would assume Texas is the same way. And who was the other one?
Nebraska.
Yeah, same thing.
So did this one help the big one?
No.
No?
No. Like, do you feel like, does it alleviate it?
Or does it like give progress to the big one? You know what I'm saying?
I don't, like, you'd think like from a... like, it's so funny because I think of the same way, right? Like a fault line, if one goes off, why doesn't it trigger all the others like a chain reaction?
Yeah.
But it doesn't necessarily do that. It's what
it's
I understand.
Like a slight shift.
It's a slight shift. And what I understand with faults is they are all separate a lot of the time, right? And like with the San Andreas fault line, which runs... You know, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of faults throughout this area.
Yeah.
And any one of them could go. So
at any time.
Yeah. Yeah. But the expectation is over the last 20 years, they were saying this on the news. They were interviewing a woman that works at Caltech, where they have one of like the big geological schools for earthquakes, right?
Right.
And she was saying that over the last 20 years, we've actually seen a quiet period in earthquakes in Southern California.
And yeah, I haven't really felt that many like real big ones.
We haven't really felt any big ones, but she said we should be experiencing one pretty regularly. And the fact that we haven't had one in 20 years, it's just a matter of time until we have a really big one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just got to be prepared. If you live in Southern California, make sure you stock up on water. You always have water, canned food, because the real problem with a monster quake in Southern California, and I think I've said this before, is it's not the earthquake.
It's the evacuations.
It's the aftermath of the earthquake. It's the fires. It's the chaos and the city trying to maintain some kind of emergency structure to move people because of how dense of a city Los Angeles is and the way people are. Like, these roads will fill up with cars automatically. You're not going to be able to get anywhere.
Mm-mm.
So make sure you have a supply stock. and make sure that you're able to wait it out. Or if you're going to try and get out, get out. But good luck.
And motorcycles.
Motorcycles.
We need motorcycles.
Deep impact.
So we can like weave.
Right, right, right. Anyway.
The largest possible earthquake that can strike throughout most of the San Andreas is an 8.4 magnitude, according to the SoCal Earthquake Center.
Really?
Yeah.
What is the 8.4 magnitude?
That's huge.
I know that, but I'm saying, what could you compare it to?
I'm not sure. Spokesperson Mark Benthian, who says the bigger the earthquake, the lower the probability of it striking. While the impact depends on a range of unknowable factors, here's what experts say might happen in the moments, hours, and days immediately after the big one rattles California. Buildings crumble and people die.
Right.
Power lines collapse. Oil and gas pipelines rupture. Water and sewer pipes fail.
Well, and that's...
And breakdown of communication, which is huge.
Yeah, the communication breakdown's a big one. The infrastructure in LA would go, and I think the big, the real problem here is the power line system in Los Angeles is old. The pipes throughout Los Angeles are 100 years old.
That's why I'm still not certain on like what to do, because... The power line thing, like people are like, oh yeah, if there's an earthquake, get out of your house because it's going to collapse. But then all these power lines are going to freaking fall on you and you're going to get zapped.
Well, it's unlikely. I mean, your house could collapse. It's possible. But I would say, you know, make sure you have the goods to deal with that time period, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
To give you an idea, this is interesting. This is interesting. How much bigger, what the quake that we experienced was how big? 5.3 that just happened?
Yes.
Okay, so the difference between a
8.4
and a 5.3 is this. It is a 3.1 magnitude is bigger than that. So 3.1, a magnitude of 8.4 earthquake is 1,258 times bigger than a magnitude 5.3 earthquake. So it's literally 1,200 times more powerful than what we just experienced.
Damn. And people said that they felt it for a couple seconds, this one.
Right.
And it just rolls.
You've got, what is it? You've got S waves, which is like a rolling earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the ground literally looks like ripples. And it can cause what is called liquefaction of the earth, of the rock.
Yeah.
So what that basically does is when it ripples like that, literally, it's like sand in a sandbox, but imagine that as water, and it's just mixing it all up. It liquefies the ground. That's at a really, really high one. But, and then there are, I think it's Z waves or something, where it just shakes. It's not a wave. The waves are the most dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
The shaking is literally just a shake where it doesn't reverberate throughout. It literally shakes the ground.
Jeez. We live on a living organism, man.
We sure do. Yeah, the Earth's a cool place. It's alive.
It's dangerous. Get your guns.
For whatever reason, because that'll save you from an earthquake.
For after.
Right, because that's what people need, guns.
Get away from my daughter!
Get off of my plane.
Yeah, get off my plane. Get off my canned food.
Oh, wow.
Get off my water.
Yep. My plan is to come out to Canyon Country and make sure Dan Hill has enough supplies to help Madeline and I.
That's right. Get on up here.
That's right.
We should stock the garage more with supplies and things.
Yeah, you should.
We don't even have like a lantern. We need a lantern.
We have emergency candles.
You too?
Yeah. They'll burn for like 4 days or something like that, right, babe? But we have camping gear, so we can sleep out back if we need to.
We got a half full Brita. That's about it.
That's all we need. We
got no weapons. Yeah, we got no weapons.
Half full Brita.
No half full Brita. I got a movie prop that looks like an axe. That'll do it.
Right.
We had some tuna fish, but we ate that. tonight.
Right, right.
We got some tomato soup, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're screwed.
Game over.
Game over. Hey, everybody. I want to tell you about a company called Studio Sweden. They make headphones. They look cool, and they sound good. They feel comfortable on your ears, and they serve a purpose. Go to studiosweden.com, put some shit in your cart, and when you check out, use our promo code Dan and Cody. That's Cody with a K. You'll get 15% off your order and free shipping. What's up? What's better than that? Nothing. And these headphones are very affordable. We're about to make them even more affordable. Check them out. Head to the link in our show notes and click it and buy some headphones. Holla at your boy. StudioSweden.com. Oh, real quick. I have to issue an apology to the Boy Scouts of America. Against my will and not to my knowledge.
Oh, stop.
Jenny purchased popcorn from the Boy Scouts. And I'm against giving any child organization money except the Girl Scouts for their cookies. And
the Children's Hospital.
That's right.
Well, and the Children's Hospital Los Angeles. You're right, Madeline.
Right. But that's not a children's organization. That's run by adults.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. The Boy Scouts of America and Girl Scouts are run by kids.
That's right. Those are kid. Right.
For kids, by kids.
Yeah, those are kid organizations.
Hello there. My name is Tony. I'm a 12-year-old boy. I've been working for the Boy Scouts of America for 11 years. I'm finally the CEO, and I'm going to turn this organization upside down.
It's literally like Boss Baby at the Boy Scouts.
Wow, absolutely.
But
you're apologizing.
Me and Jenny had an in-house movie night, and we heated up 2 bags of that Boy Scout popcorn, and it's delicious.
Good.
So, Boy Scouts, I'm sorry. If you come to the door next time, maybe.
Maybe.
If I have cash and exact change,
I'll help you out.
I'll buy some popcorn. I'll buy some popcorn.
Dan loves this popcorn. He puts it in his little fancy home popcorn thing and
that's right.
Eats it.
My Star Wars Episode 8 bucket that I made Cody buy and then I took it home.
That's funny.
Oh, shit.
The champion of the week. Yeah.
We gotta end it with a champion of the week.
Champion of the week, man. Who's our champion of the week, Dan?
Well, it is the Los Angeles Fire Department and police. Here's the headline. Boy is finally rescued after spending 12 hours in a Los Angeles sewer system. A 13-year-old boy found himself in deep trouble on Sunday, but the City of Angels had his back. Jesse Hernandez, he was playing with some other children in an abandoned factory, and he fell through a piece of wood and dropped 25 feet into the city sewage system. He then wandered through the maze of pipes to find a way out.
They said he was more than 300 feet underground.
Hmm?
They said that he was 300 feet underground.
Right, but he dropped 25 feet into the system.
Yeah, I know. That's and then he wandering. He went down.
He went further down.
Yes, I saw it on the news.
Jesus.
Yeah.
So over, oh, dude, can you imagine all the rats and, like, just junk down there and how scared you would be as a 13-year-old?
Yeah, if you're in the main, like, sewer line, jeez.
Over 100 L.A. firefighters and police officials spent 12 hours searching in the drainage system with special cameras to try to find the kid. And the boy was fearful for his own safety. He crawled on his knees through almost an entire mile of piping until he finally saw a light coming through a manhole cover and waited to be rescued.
Really?
Yeah. Monday morning, LA firefighters finally found the kid, hauled him to safety, rushed him to the hospital for treatment, and reunited him with his family.
It's a real-life Andy Dufresne.
Yeah. What was Andy Dufresne?
Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, yeah.
And he crawled his way through a mile of that sludge.
Do you remember when there was an old Simpsons where, like, didn't Bart, like, fall down a well? And he called his name. His name was, like, Timmy O'Toole.
In history, there have been a few well falls.
Yeah.
Right?
Huh?
Baby Jessica, that's right. That was like 92, 93, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was early 92, like this baby in the well thing.
Yeah, the baby, there was this baby that got stuck in a well, and it was stuck down the bottom. It was a big national news story. Everybody was covering this like child that was deep in this well for like 4 days or something, right?
They got her out, though. She lived.
You got to cover these wells, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, people. Where are these wells?
Yeah, where are all the wells?
Yeah, so she... This woman became famous in 1987.
Mm.
She is 2 years younger than I am. She was born in March of 86.
Damn.
She fell into a well in her parents' backyard or her aunt's backyard in Midland, Texas.
Jeez.
And it took 58. She was basically, rescuers worked 58 executive hours to free her from an 8-inch well casing 22 feet deep below the ground.
Why don't they just put a ladder down there?
I don't know. And I later, because it's 8 inches.
It's only this wide?
Oh, it's 8 inches?
Right.
How old was she when she went down there?
She was eight at the age of 18 months.
Oh my God.
She fell in 1987. And it's saying here, later in 89, though, they made a movie about an ABC television movie called Everybody's Baby. The Rescue of Jessica McClure. Just so you're all wondering, what's Jessica up to these days after, climbing out of a pipe at the age of 18 right months?
She's an advocate for well covers?
No, she's an actress.
Oh, of course.
She's got two kids, and, she's been married since 2006, and it looks like she got a divorce in 2017.
I bet she watches those kids like a hawk.
Oh, I bet she watches those kids like a hawk, too.
So I would say, after reading this article, LA firefighters, yes, you're the champions, but it sounds like Jesse found his way like out of there, and they just flipped up the mantle.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
so Jesse Hernandez, you are also our champion of the week. You know where he needs to go. I was telling Tim about this. He needs to go to Ellen. Ellen will hook you up. That's where to go now. She'll give you everything. He'd probably go to college with Ellen. Get himself a nice little. Yeah, for falling in a well or in a sewer. If that's all you got to do, man, I'd have done that. Jump down a manhole. So good on you, Jesse Hernandez.
Sometimes we got to do. We got to take some time and experience an adventure once in a while in our lives. And Jesse did that.
He did that. Jumped down a well.
Unfortunately, he found himself in a pipe of shit and had to crawl his way through that. So sometimes we
lived off the blood of rats.
And that's all we got. Thank you guys for listening to the Dan and Cody podcast this week. Make sure to share us. Send us to your friends. Check us out on iTunes.
Hit us up on Patreon.
And follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
@ Dan Cody Podcast.
Thank you guys all for listening to episode 118. Have a wonderful week.
Thanks for listening and laughing with the Dan and Cody Podcast. Our email is danandcodypodcast@gmail.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We are on Instagram @ Dan Cody Podcast. Check out our website, danandcody.com, and you can contribute to the podcast by going to patreon.com/DanCodyPodcast.
Subscribe, bitch!
Everybody play themselves down to shit, bro.
I got like a piece of carrot stuck in like a gland in the back of my throat.
A piece of carrot is stuck into a gland in the back of your throat.
So what I do is I take my finger and I shove it in the back where the gland is,
uh-huh,
and I hope that it ejects it.
Yeah.
Sometimes if there's nothing there, what happens is if I'm like getting in the shower or something,
uh-huh,
I can put my finger back there and I have really bad breath and I get like these little pustule things that pop out, and they're gross. They smell terrible.
Oh my God. Oh. Cody, I cannot watch you do that this whole podcast. What is happening over there?
I think I got it out, but now it's...
It's a carrot?
Oh, no. It's popcorn.
Oh.
It's from the popcorn kernels I was eating.
Oh. And it's gone now?
Uh-huh.
All right.
Yeah, we're good, man. I don't have to keep throwing my finger in the back of my throat. Real classy guy I am.
Oh, my God.